Good morning and welcome on this very nice day. And a special welcome to those that are looking at the webcast. An important warning that we probably hear regularly from here on out is to hold on to the truth that we were given. This means that we need to make sure we know exactly what we need to hold on to. And my title today will be, Are You Prepared to Hold On to the Truth? We probably all know someone who once knew the truth, or thought they did, or we thought they did, but they're not with us today. What happened? As vulnerable as they were in our, are we as vulnerable as they were in our ability to hold on to the truth? At one time, they believed that the Sabbath and the holy days were commanded by God to keep forever. How did they decide that this was no longer true? And would we ever do that? God wants us to hold fast to the truth. That means we have to know and be convinced that we have found it. George DeCampus gave a sermon on April 17th titled, Stand Fast and Hold the Traditions You Have Been Taught. And in that message, he covered 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He mentioned that the danger that some are dabbling in, that is listening to other speakers, messages not found by going to the UCG website. I'll quote a few of his comments. The danger is when you know the truth and you start listening to things, messages or sermons from people who are not in the church, but who are good speakers, good Christians, but they have a little bit of untruth in their messages. Continuing, you say he's a good speaker and I listen to him, but as you listen to him, another little untruth comes in and another very subtly and you don't always pick them up. And you know what happens? You have a seed planted in your mind and with time it can grow and start you deviating from the truth without realizing it. That is the real danger we uncover. At another point, he put it this way. Members are being affected through social media by listening to different speakers who bring a little wrong here and there and cause you to begin to deviate from the truth, and you eventually end up on a different planet. An increase in lying and deceit will be one of the characteristics of the end time. The thing is, it doesn't matter if it's a big lie or a little lie that we're told. In fact, we may be more vulnerable to little lies because we should be able to spot the big ones. But the little lies can erode the edges of our understanding and we can begin to be taken in by them. A final comment that Mr. DeCampus made was critical for us to remember. And that is, holding on to true doctrine will affect our eternal salvation. We need to go back and study the things that Christ taught so that we recognize when somebody is trying to entice us with some new understanding. Things are not going to get easier or clearer the closer we get to the end. They will become more confusing unless you know exactly who to listen to and what to believe. John 17:17 tells us that God's word is truth, not somebody else's. What is the word that he is referring to here? It's the written information that we find in our Bible. So we're to evaluate whether or not something's true based upon whether we can find support in the Bible, the very word of God. On April 24, 2021, Ken Martin had a lot to say about truth in his sermon titled, Does It Matter What We Believe? Embracing the Love of the Truth. He began his message by saying, without a knowledge of this topic and a deep understanding of it, according to the end time prophecies of the Word of God, we will be led astray. In other words, we won't be holding on to what we were taught. I really like what he said in the next part. You have to hunker down and believe what the Word of God says on different issues, or you will be led all over the place like professing Christians are. God has not hidden the truth from us. It is there for our learning, but we have to dig for it, hunger for it, and thirst for it. So we might begin by asking, why is it necessary for us to hold fast? I don't think there's any mystery here. Every effort we have made, every trial that we have endured and finally overcome, every sacrifice we have made, everything will all be in vain if we don't endure to the end so that we can enter the kingdom of God and receive eternal life. And what are we to hold fast? All that we have learned over the years. Faith, the grace, understanding the holy days and the Ten Commandments and the promises of God. Everything else that makes us part of the body of Christ. All of it can be found in our instruction manual, the Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul puts it this way, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I have preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In verses 3 and 4, Paul goes on to list what I've heard described as the bedrock of the gospel and some of the basic things that we are to hold fast. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why is it so difficult for us to hold fast? Since it would seem so obvious that we have to hold fast, why is this something so difficult? I think there are at least two primary reasons. First of all, we get tired. We get tired of being on guard all the time against Satan and against the pulls of the world and against ourselves. One way or another, we come to realize that we may never be through keeping on guard until we're no longer flesh and blood. We're always in a battle to one degree or another at all time. And so some quit. They just give up. As Ken Martin said in one of his sermons, we have to fight the flesh every day of our lives. Let's go to Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, Daniel is describing what is going to happen at the time of the end. Daniel 7, verse 25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints will be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. The word persecute in this case means to wear people out mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, to harass them constantly, and to crush the will and the spirit. So we know that we can expect to have to work at holding fast. And once we stop fighting the spiritual battles and start to go along with the world, we could eliminate a lot of conflict, but we'd also be eliminating any hope of being worthy to be in God's kingdom. I believe the second reason it becomes hard to hold fast is because we forget our goal and why we do the things that we do. Proverbs 29:18 reminds us, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. When we forget why we are trying to overcome and why we are in this battle, we can lose our motivation. Conversely, when our future is real to us and the benefits of living this present way of life are reviewed regularly, it gives us the drive that we need to keep on keeping on. Let's look at 2 Timothy verse 4. In 2 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8, Paul tells Timothy, now read this from the NIV. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now is there in store for me the crown of righteousness. We want to be able to say the same thing. And we can do that if we do not grow weary and if we keep the vision. We need to hang in there and go and grow closer to Christ and God. We can endure to the end with our eyes fixed on Christ and the kingdom. We hope we have to focus on things that are eternal and not things that fade away. We can't afford to be distracted by the cares of this life. Now, nobody ever said it would be easy. We're warned to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2, verse 12. Does this sound like some of the decisions we have to make are easy? Or that some of these things that we have to go through are easy? I don't think so. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Again, I'll read from the NIV. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The gate isn't narrow so that no one can get through it, but it's narrow enough to exclude anyone who doesn't obey. It's narrow because there's only one truth. Man tries to decide for himself what's true and what he can and cannot do. And there aren't many things that he decides he cannot do. Deciding for ourselves will not work. By reminding ourselves that the way is narrow, we can know that if what we practice or believe suddenly becomes easy or popular, we're probably going the wrong way. No matter how many people say it's okay to do something, if God says it's not okay, he's the one we have to listen to. It isn't all about now. It's about preparing for eternity. We need to make sure we're not afraid to live differently. Why do we do what we do? Because we believe in the truth. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, we're reminded to stand fast and hold the traditions which we were taught, whether by word or epistle. winning the spiritual battle that God has called us to is a lot tougher than what we may have thought. God doesn't promise that everyone will make it. It's for those who endure to the end. Failure is possible if we allow it. We have been called into an ongoing battle. Anytime we think the battle has stopped and the enemy has moved away, we need to make sure that we really are on guard. We have to remember that Satan is not going to let us know he is there. The battle is going on whether we see it or not. We're either contending against Satan's influence or letting it overcome us. Again, in Matthew 24, verse 13, we're told, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." And the NIV uses the term "stands firm." The implication is it isn't going to be a cakewalk. We will have trials and testing and have to resist. It's not easy. But we fail only when we quit. While holding fast won't be easy, we can make it easier. Holding fast can be made easier if we do certain things. I like to go over three keys that can help us, and I'm sure you can think of some others. The first of these keys is to prove all things we're to hold fast to that we've already been given. The key to proving all things is vital. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. We can read what we are to hold fast. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The NIV puts it this way. Test everything. Hold on to the good. In other words, check it out first. And if it's true, hold on to it. It reminds us that one way to hold fast to something is by putting into practice so that we see its value. Many of us here may never let go of what we've been taught because we can remember what we were like before we started living by the truths that God reveals to us. We remember that there was a time when we didn't know how to live. We remember that God helped us finally understand what life was all about and helped us see why we were born. We have proven the truth of God's word by putting it into practice. And we ask ourselves, why would we want to go back to what I was before? We have proven or tested God's word and found it to be sure and good. We don't want to fall for something that sounds good. What did you learn from the beginning? We remember Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, and I change not. This is a basic principle, so if we hear something new that doesn't agree with what we first heard and proved to be true, we need to put it out of our mind immediately. Truth does not change with time. It is not determined by what you or I or anything else or anybody else thinks. Of course, most people don't believe today in absolute truth. Because we know that the truth was revealed to us in the Bible, we can understand that there are absolutes. And God's way is always right. The law doesn't change based upon the situation. Situational ethics is not something that God supports. Unless we keep this principle in mind, we can fall into the trap of discarding the truth. And discarding the truth to believe a pleasant-sounding lie under the right circumstances. This is especially possible when we remember what I said earlier about one of the reasons we stop holding fast is we grow tired. The truth, God's truth, is one of the most important things that we have. Without God's truth, we'd be like the vast majority of mankind. Without a clue whether God exists, and definitely clueless about whether there's a purpose for our lives. Nothing in this world compares to knowing and understanding God and His truth. We need to hold on to it. Notice what it says in Revelation 2, verse 25. Revelation 2, 25. But hold fast what you have till I come. We already have what we need to hold on to. The Bible refers to other books that were written. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 make it clear that they were not considered necessary for inclusion in the Bible. Let's read Revelation 22, starting at 18. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God will not add unto him. God shall add unto him the plagues that were written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. The implication is that scriptures that were included were enough. And if we think there's something out there that God forgot to tell us, we're in danger. God has given us what we need to know now and will reveal what we need to know when we need to know it. If we think some other religion has a better way, we need to remind ourselves that God told us not to worry about how someone else serves their God. He has told us what He wants us to do, and it is sufficient. There is no extra knowledge that we need to know. God didn't leave out any vital information. Our Bible is the complete Word of God. Back on June 28, 2017, Victor Kubik and Don Ward jointly sent a letter to the entire membership. This was their opening sentence. The purpose of this letter is to encourage all of us to continue to fight the good fight of faith and be settled in the faith. In the second paragraph, they reminded us of the exhortation that Paul gave the Hebrews in Hebrews 2, verse 1, again reading from their letter. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And they pointed out, we are committed to guarding those precious truths that God has revealed to us. We should always keep in mind that the Church of God is the pillar and ground of the truth, as 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us. We have to receive the love of the truth, God's Word, the teaching of Christ, and we have to be grounded in that, not in our own ideas. The truth is a reflection of God and who He is. It is what Christ will be looking for when He returns. That is, those that are embracing the truth. Ken Martin mentioned in the sermon referenced before, and I quote, "God wants us to endure to the end. The reward he is offering us is not going to be passed out to people who don't love the truth. It's not enough to know the truth, we have to love it. It's the only way we will have to survive the great and strong delusion that God will allow to test everybody. Satan will use it to try to dislodge us from the truth." Satan knows that the truth is the most dangerous thing out there, because if it was actually believed by everybody, we would all be led to God and we'd begin obeying his commandments. Therefore, Satan is going to do everything he can to weaken our belief that there is absolute truth. He's going to make us believe that we can decide something for ourselves, whether or not that something is harmful. Let's look at 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul tells Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And I'd like to read 14 from two other versions. First, the Revised Standard. "Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit which dwells within us." This reminds us that we have been given a responsibility, entrusted with it, to guard the truth that we have heard. And the second version I want to quote is from the New Living, again, verse 14. "Through the power of the Holy Spirit which lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you." The truth is precious, and we need to treat it as such. It hasn't been revealed to everybody. The bottom line is that he's telling Timothy to hold fast to what I've taught you and keep people focused on that. We can lose the truth if we don't make sure we're holding on to it, holding on to what we were first taught. The book of Jude consistently warned the readers that they need to contend for the faith they once had and the truth that they've been given. He reminds them that they once knew the truth, but now they're in danger of listening to lies. Another key to make sure we hold fast is what is good to review and what we read. We can review the scriptures that we've heard over the years and encourage us and warn us to hold fast. These are the types of scriptures, for example, that remind us that it won't be easy, but God will be with us and he will see us through. Christians must be alert to the prophecy that even from among their leaders, some would arise speaking perverse things and twisting God's word. Let's look at Acts 20. Acts 20, starting in verse 29. I'll read this from the NIV. Paul writes, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." And the first part of 31, "So be on your guard." And 2 Thessalonians 2, In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, he asks a question. "Do you not remember when I was still with you and I told you these things?" We need to make sure we go back and study the things that Christ taught. Keeping scriptures like this in mind, help us remember that the standard we measure against is what God has taught us, not what something that some man has said. Our ability to hold on to the truth is not guaranteed. We need to constantly be going back and refreshing ourselves. What is it that we believe? When we listen to a sermon again or review our notes, we need to ask ourselves, what was the purpose of this message? The ministry knows that every sermon has to count. We're only in services for an hour and a half a week, and most sermons are less than an hour. We need to see if we understand why it was given and how we can use the information that it contains. We can ask ourselves whether it was needed for us or personally, or maybe it's the congregation that needed it. Well, if we conclude it's only for the congregation, remember that each one of us is a part of the congregation. The natural inclination for all of us is to want soft messages that could be given anywhere. Let's look at Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 10, shows that this is nothing new. Isaiah 30, verse 10, the second half. Prophesied not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesied deceits. And the NIV puts it this way, give us no more visions of what is right, tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. If you only want things that won't make you feel uncomfortable, that can be dangerous. God's word is a two-edged sword. The reason we come here is for instructions, to learn how to improve our abilities to fight the good fight until the very end. A third key that should help us hold fast is to remember that God has a purpose that he is working out. It is critical for us to remember that the world around us is actually less real than the coming kingdom of God, even though we can't see it physically yet. We need to have the vision that I mentioned before so we know exactly why we're trying to overcome and why we're in this battle. If we remember that God has a plan for each of us and for all mankind, we should be encouraged to endure anything. Many of us have loved ones that are waiting for us who are already in their place of safety, the grave. The last great day reminds us that we will see them all again if we hold fast. Sometimes it can be helpful to remember that others are counting on us. Friends in the church, loved ones who have died, and will be expecting to see us when they are resurrected. Perhaps, as one minister said at the feast one year, our uncalled ancestors who knew we were in God's church will be wondering where we are if we fail to hold fast. We need to make sure that we don't take our calling for granted. Don't take it lightly. Don't take the understanding that we've been given for granted either. We need to fight to keep this knowledge. We've all seen how easily it can be lost or stolen. If we don't hold fast, another may steal our crown. Let's go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold on, hold that fast which you have, In other words, hold on to what you already have. That no man take your crown. In his cover note to a recent Prophetic Times, Mr. Tuck referred to this verse and added a comment, "If you and I don't hold fast, someone will inherit the crown Jesus Christ intended to give us. Anytime our resolve weakens because of difficult trials, it's good to remember that." How can someone take our crown? I think there are at least a couple of ways. First of all, we allow ourselves to become almost over-loyal to a particular man or men, and we accept their word without question. It isn't easy to question someone you've admired for years. It isn't easy to step back and evaluate whether that person is still on the right track. And a second way to someone could steal our crowns if we get offended by somebody. Obviously, it's easy to say, don't get offended. Easier to say it than do it. But we need to keep in mind what we read in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, 195, we're reminded, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. The NIV says, "Nothing can make them stumble." Why is it really critical to avoid being offended? The answer can be found in a comment made at the feast one year that I've always remembered. "If you let anyone come between you and God, that person is closer to God than you are." Anytime we let someone come between us and God, that's a serious matter. God will not hear our prayers. If we allow someone to offend us and change our relationship with God, that could keep us from receiving the crown that has been promised to us. If we think it's difficult holding fast with God's help, how much more difficult would it be without it? Holding fast in a world that's becoming more and more ungodly isn't something that anybody can do for us. It helps us remember the warnings in Proverbs about the friends we keep and try to make sure we're surrounding ourselves with all the support we can find to keep on the path of life. That's one of the reasons we want to establish strong relationships with others that God's working with. Let's look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 33. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." The Revised Standard Version describes the word habits as morals. Evil company corrupts good morals. And in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." In other words, don't be mismatched with the ones you choose as friends. On the other hand, having good friends can make all the difference. Notice Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, starting in verse 9. In the New King James, these verses are under the heading, "The Value of a Friend." And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 9. "Two people are better off than one because they can help each other succeed." Our goal should be to help another person succeed in reaching the kingdom of God. verse 10. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. If we think we're strong enough to make it on our own without someone else's help, what happens when we do need help? Verse 11. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? In verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. In a recent letter from Mr. Kubik, he mentioned how the importance of encouragement can help us. Quoting, one can be exhausted and ready to give up, and then suddenly strengthened and fueled by a vital word of positive recognition and encouragement, and be ready to take on just about anything. This is what we need to do for one another. Provide the encouragement that is needed to hold fast and prepare for the marvelous future that awaits us. The Beyond Today magazine, October of 2018, had an article on the Kingdom of God, which concludes with a section that reminds us that we have been called to live according to the kingdom now. Quoting, our life will be guided by a goal. Our life must be guided by a goal, a godly vision of the future. Now is the time to prepare. If you truly want the future that Jesus proclaimed, you must begin living by its terms today. Be dedicated and make the choice to be fully committed. Follow his teachings. Follow his commandments. Follow his footsteps so that you will be part of the great kingdom. I'd like to finish this message with something that Rick Shaby said, and I'll quote, we need to learn every word and live by every word and learn to reject any idea that isn't of God. Test the ideas. Test the spirit. Go back and prove it from the word of God and hold fast to what is being taught and let go of the things that are not of God. There comes a time when you know that you have found the truth and you better stop there. The search is over. When you find the truth, hold fast to it. Know you have found it. Stick to it. Don't let yourself be pulled away. We have found the pearl of great price. We don't need to look any further. What we need to do is to guard it and hold on to it.